I wonder what it's all about. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I wonder what it's all about. Now, one of our friends sent us a little note in the mail, and he'd been reading Osho's book on joy, and he was very taken by one phrase from the book, which he thought was very indicative of a lot of beautiful things. And I think it's quite interesting too. Now, as I look at his thing here, I wonder where it went to. I guess what I did was I copied it and put it in my article. Anyhow, he wrote from Osho's book on joy, "Pleasure is animal, happiness is man, bliss is divine." Pleasure is animal, happiness is human, bliss is divine. Well, we can all sort of interpolate what these words mean. Pleasure being the sensitive action of the body alone that is animal. And I don't think animals have the same pleasure sensations that we do. They have a more instinctual things. They have drives that must be met. And I don't think that an animal is a sexual creature. May I say that? I don't think an animal is a sexual creature. I think an animal is a procreative creature, is a creature that feels it must be part of the procreative act, and that's fine. And when we say pleasure is animal, I think we're doing a great disservice to the animal, because the animal is a very beautiful being and a very sensitive being, and the animal lives more in bliss than we know. Now, we say happiness is human. Well, I've seen a lot of animals that are very, very happy and very, very touched and very, very wonderful. And I'm not playing a game against Osho's comments here. I'm merely looking at these words for whatever they may be worth. Happiness is human, he says. Now, that's a very good observation. Our human nature can be happy. Now, let's look at this once. First, pleasure is animal. And one of the great pleasures of humanity is sex. And it has nothing to do with anything, and it's certainly not an animal's thing. An animal, when it has a sexual encounter, it has the one goal of procreation in mind. It has not the goal of pleasure. Because if it had the goal of pleasure, it would be doing it a great deal more. Because there's nothing restraining it from doing it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now. Now, when we say happiness is human, this probably is quite true. Because if I say to you, I love you, that makes you happy. If I say I hate you, that makes you unhappy. I can manipulate you. I can manipulate you with my words by saying you're nice or you're not nice, or you're happy or you're not happy, or you're good or you're not good. I can manipulate you. And if I can manipulate you, then happiness indeed is very human. Because perhaps a better word to describe a human is a manipulator. A human being is one who manipulates. And you say, well, that's not a very nice thing to say. Well, it's not a matter of nice or not nice. It's just a matter that that's what it is. A human being spends its entire life manipulating the world, manipulating everything. A human being chooses to manipulate all experiences that it's involved in. Now, we come to the word bliss here. My goodness. We think of the Buddha, you know, with his bliss, and we think of how wonderful it is, and people who obtain bliss are so fantastic, so glorious, so that's bull roar. Bliss is not so unattainable. Bliss is not so distant, it is not so hard to find. You are in bliss every time you are totally satisfied. Now you say, when am I ever totally satisfied? When you look at a job that you have done and you feel very good about it, you feel very content, you don't need anybody else's praise or anybody else's comment, you feel good. That's bliss. When you are laying in bed after a long day of active participation, tennis, golf, camping, working, housekeeping, doing whatever you're doing, and finally, you lay down in bed, just not exhausted, but you think it's exhausted, but it's bliss. You lay down, and you just feel so relaxed, so released, so free of all tension. Now that's bliss. Whether you like it or not, that's real bliss. That's a greater bliss than all the spiritual gobbledygook that we talk about. Because we don't even know what that means. We don't need to be one with my God. Well, Sylvia, where's God?
He's in me.
Thank you. She sits there pointing to herself, you know. Yeah, you got to talk for the record. You know, in me. Yeah. God is in you. So if you have this moment of bliss where you have the end of your day and you lay on the bed or you sit in your chair and you just sort of are at peace with yourself, you're at bliss. You are at bliss with your God. And your God is you. And that's a wonderful thing. Now you see, all these things, they try to make them so objective, so fantastic, you know. And what happens? What happens? We make them out of our reach. We make them something that we cannot handle. When we go around saying pleasure is animal, what a stupid thing to say. I don't mean that to knock this guy's words, but I just think pleasure is not animal. Pleasure is pleasure. Pleasure is joy. Pleasure is participation. Does an animal like to be stroked? Does a person like to be stroked? Does it make the person an animal when it likes to be stroked? No, hardly. My God. We have to watch so carefully how we use these words. Now, Osho was making generalizations here. And I know Osho, and I've read much of his works, and in talking to him, I've had a lot of interesting conversations. And very brilliant, very outstanding man, very specific man. But he had one little hang-up. And that hang-up was that he allowed everyone to do whatever they wanted to do. And you can't do that. You can't do that. When people are in your presence, they cannot do whatever they want to do. You understand? When people are in your presence, they cannot do what they want to do. They can only do what you want them to do. And why is that?
And your creator.
They can only do what you want them to do because you're the creator of your world. And if you're not going to be the creator of your world and give over the creation of your world to something else, then you go right ahead, and I know just how confident a person you are in yourself. Now, this is going to be very cruel, but very true. Every person, whoever experiences illness, pain, unhappiness, poverty, anything like that, chose to do it. They chose to do it. They're the ones who are telling you that they're sick. They're the ones who are telling you they're in poverty. They don't go around telling you, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And of course then you would see them whole and perfect too, and if everybody was seeing them whole and perfect, they'd be whole and perfect in no time. But of course they have to start seeing themselves whole and perfect first. I'm independently wealthy. That doesn't mean I have a special bank account. It doesn't mean I have sweepstakes. It doesn't mean I have anything. It just means that I draw upon the infinite source of the universe for my abundance, and it's always there. And when you say I'm poor and I'm sick, and what are you saying? You're saying that is the principle that I am following. And go for it. Go for it. That's the principle I'm following. Yes. I hear some men speak to their wife and say, oh, you'd make a good whore. And I think to myself, what a sick statement to make. Any wife who's not a princess, who's not a most wonderful, glorious being, the man was telling you who he is, not who she is. He was telling you what sort of eyes he's looking out of. Now, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? That sounds real mean and real ugly. But stupidity is mean and ugly. Brilliance is glorious. I'm whole and perfect. I'm wonderful. I'm abundant. I'm sick. I'm poor. I have no friends. Everything's going to rot with me. That's bad news, you know. That's real bad news. But it's okay, because that's human news. Now, could Jesus ever say anything not divine? If the Bible quotes Jesus as saying something not divine, think twice about it. But Jesus could never say something not divine. And you know why he could never say anything that's not divine? Because he was divine. Was Jesus divine?
Yes.
How could he say anything that was not divine? Are you divine?
Yes.
I like your enthusiasm. Are you divine?
Yes.
Are you divine?
Yes.
Thank you, Ingeborg. You come and Johnny come lately there now. Now, are you divine? And if you are divine, you have no right. You have no approval. You have no authority to say anything that is not true. And what is not true is you're sick. What is not true is you're poor. What is not true, you have bad relationships. You understand?
Yes.
You see, pleasure is animal, happiness is human, bliss is divine. Those are fantastic phrases. Very significant phrases. But it makes us think that an animal is pleasurable, and that animal pleasures, you've heard of that statement, and you've heard how people misuse that's a total misuse of the physiological and the attitudes of animals and humans, you know. An animal? Are you an animal, Ellen?
I'm God, I'm divine. I'm not an animal.
You are a human being. You are not an animal. An animal is one who does not necessarily have full control of every activity in their life. They do, really, but we think they don't. Why does Edith Mary, I like to tell a story about her. Edith Mary is a dear friend of mine for umpty-dump years, and she was head of school food service in Minneapolis. Or no, this is in Los Angeles, and Minneapolis too, but Los Angeles. And while she was there, everybody knew that she loved dogs. She had a little poodle. And so one day, the janitor was working outside of the building, and he heard a grunting inside of the trash. Inside of the
trash bin.
The container, the
dumpster.
He heard this little grunting inside of the dumpster, and he thought to himself, "What in the world is that?" And he knew it had to be something. Okay, so he called in the dumpster. And he took out this handful of thing. It was all glycia, just a handful. He had a big hand, but it's a handful. And it was terrible and stunk. Oh, it was bad. And he put it in a box, and he put it under Rita Mary's desk. So when she came back from her calls that day, she went to her desk and smelled this, and she was still working, you know, it was still maybe about 2 o'clock or 1:32. And so she picked it up, she looked in there, oh my goodness, that's a dog. And she dashed off to the veterinarian. I hear this little dog in the dumpster, ready to be dumped out, you know, forgotten forever, you know. He crawled in there probably himself looking for something to eat, but he was a little Mexican Chihuahua and Cockapoo and a whole bunch of things mixed together. Tiny little thing. And she took him to the vet, and the vet gave it a bath and gave it a haircut and gave it pills and checked it over for its health, you know. Did every, you know, it was quite a bill. And that didn't matter. And when Edith Mary went in to pick it up, it was a totally different creature. But why did that dog have the ability to create itself being found by Edith Mary? I mean, why didn't the janitor find it and say, forget it, you know? I mean, that's too far gone to do anything with. A lot of people do that. It's too far gone to do anything with. But they took it to Edith Mary, and her big old loving heart, she had to take care of that little puppy, and she had that puppy, and the puppy is called Shadow because it followed her everywhere. And it was just a little tiny thing, and she had it, oh, 20 years, amazing how long she had it. And it's fantastic. So, you see, animals, too, create in their life. They create things for themselves. They create opportunities to have wonderful circumstances. Oh, they may go through some tough spots, but humans do too. And you go through tough spots because you're trying to protect yourself. If an animal were always trying to be loving, he would never have to protect himself. If a human were always being loving, he would never have to protect himself from everything. Everything would be his. Everything would flow. You see, that's where pleasure is animal, human, happiness is human, and bliss is divine. I said in my message here, I said, what is my goal from Osho? Pleasure is animal, happiness is human, bliss is divine. I may choose, and in my choosing, I prolong the agony of arriving at my goal. Presumably bliss. As I live in my divine, and as I remain pure to my divine perspective, all else is added unto me, pleasure and happiness. And then I made the comment, Jesus had trouble getting this point across also. The human in us encourages us to be human alone. And this is true. This is true. That aspect of us encourages us to do it. You're working on somebody who's dying, and you believe they can live. And everybody else around you says, forget it, you know. They're too far gone. They're already gone. And you believe. And you believe. And you hang in there regardless, because you don't hear those people. You don't hear anything. All you hear is, they will live. They will live. I see them alive. I see them. I'm not going to make them alive. I see them alive. They live. There's a life in there. Live. For some reason, that was important. Because just living is important. And the person lives. So often that has happened where others give up and someone hangs in there and brings it about. I know. It's a fictional movie, Camelot. But Lancelot in Camelot, after he had gored this other man and virtually, well, killed him, and the man was kaput. And so Lancelot went up to him, and he was so emotionally distressed that he had really killed somebody, because I don't think he had ever killed anybody before. Not somebody that meant something to him or that he knew. And he says, don't die. Don't die. And, of course, theatrically, the fellow came back and everything was fine and dandy. But, you see, The human has these limitations. The animal has these limitations. The divine has no limitations. And when we train ourselves, when we live in ourselves, always in the divine, when we always are thinking from the divine point of view, loving everyone from the divine point of view, joyously being in the divine point of view, we've got it made. You can go out and be a human minister if you want. And you can go out and teach people what other people taught. Teach people what Jesus taught or what Osho taught or whatever anybody taught. And you're garbage. Pure garbage. When you go out and teach what you believe, what you have been illumined by these wonderful other teachers, that's great. Be illumined by them. But teach what you believe. I believe this. Don't say, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said it and I believe it. You know. Well, to hell with it. You know. It's not a matter that Jesus said it and you believe it. He was a great teacher. He was a great sharer. And he said, I have to go because you guys depend on me too much. And let the Comforter come in each of you, the divine in each of you. And so it is that each of us must stand on our own two feet and say, this is what I believe. And you know what the world will think of us? They'll think we're crazy until they see that we really do stand on our own individual convictions and our belief and that it works. Think about these things. They're tremendously important and very vital. Pleasure is animal, happiness is human, bliss is divine. That's fine when you're talking about the relative world. And the relative world is all we know. But the divine is there. And if you want to reach the divine, then you have to leave the relative behind and move into the awareness of who you are. Because that's who you are. And you're wonderful. And I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.